I felt like all of the movements towards freedom that have had their center in Syracuse and central New York are so monumental. I love to honor that fact that we've had all of these movements begin here, and including the women's movement with the first National Women's Rights Convention in 1848 in Seneca Falls, and anti-slavery, the abolition movement was huge in Syracuse, and it had a connection that a lot of people don't know about, which was that Samuel May, who was the pastor of the organization that eventually became May Memorial Unitarian Society, his sister was Louisa May Alcott's mother. And so there in Concord, Massachusetts, they were carrying out their strong abolition sentiments. And they connected very, very strongly with what was happening in Syracuse with the abolition sentiments led by May and Jermaine and Carolyn Logan and later his daughter Sarah and all of the people that were involved in that. And we are the site of the oldest ongoing independent peace organization in the United States. And I don't know if a lot of people know that, that the Syracuse Peace Council was established in the 1930s. So it's almost 80 years old, and that's the longest ongoing peace organization in the United States. Right here, Syracuse. It's pretty exciting. And I've always felt that it's really interesting that there's so many people in Syracuse who are all involved in the same movement. So if you're active in one movement, you tend to run into people that you know from that. If you go to organizing meetings about another kind of human rights movement or a freedom movement, and including Syracuse Community Choir. We're a choir of activists who came together 25 years ago. This year is our 25th. Nobody can believe it, but none of us believed 25 years ago that we'd still be singing together in the year 2010. But here we are, kind of a choir of activists who are interested in other things, largely the anti-war movement, women's movement, and the inclusion movement, which was giving uniform access to all kinds of disabilities. I think that the movements fed each other, but at the heart of many of the things was the influence of the Haudenosaunee women. And the fact that the Klan mothers have always been a powerful voice and have motivated, because of their interests and enthusiasms, motivated other movements to begin, that people were inspired by things that they saw being done among the Haudenosaunee. I think that it was a seed that was planted a long, long time ago, and that a lot of things fed each other. I see it at in our educational institutions. I see it even to a large extent, the fact that we have a community college that's the center of all kinds of innovation and motivating all kinds of other things going on in the community because of the energy that's put into that. And it's just that we have these gems all around us. They're just unbelievable. I think that a lot of people don't realize. I think that there are thousands of people around who have no idea. Like, I'm active at the Gage Center. And I'm not the only one who will have this reaction when we go out places and say, we'll do a talk about Matilda Joslyn Gage, and people will say, who is that? We'll say, okay, well, she was like the godmother of the women's suffrage movement, and her life purpose was not only women's rights, but also abolition, rights of Haudenosaunee and the honoring of Haudenosaunee, and the separation of church and state. And people don't even realize she lived right here in Fayetteville. Her house is still there. And it's being turned into a museum, which is going to be a museum of conscience. And it's one of just a handful worldwide of centers that were important in changing people's thinking about different social movements. She's right here in Syracuse. And there's people who walk around every day, don't even know that. Focusing on the open city that Syracuse always has been, because it's always been this way. It's always been a center of radical thought and social movements. It's always been this way. We just have to get the word out. What are the barriers? Well, the weather is a barrier because I've always thought that if we had temperate weather year-round, there'd be growth of movements that would be steadier. But as it is, we have, at this time of year, people coming together and planning for things, and then in the winter months, a lot of people hibernate because it's uncomfortable to go out. So it's like it interrupts that flow every time that happens. But we just have to work on it while the weather is nice and we can get home. I'll tell you two things that are largely forgotten, and I love to talk about them. We had a women's encampment. There were two different things. There was the women's peace encampment was outside of Sonic Army Depot, and that was for a few years in the early 80s. But we also had a celebration called Woman Harvest, and it went on for 14 years. The third weekend in September every year, we started out at a camp in Geneva called Camp Whitman, and it was a wonderful celebration of women's lives. And we'd come together on Friday evening, and when you registered ahead of time, sent in your things, there was a question on the registration if you were interested in singing. And we'd come together on Friday night, those who had checked yes for interested in singing, and we'd get the music for songs that all had to do with human rights, alternative lifestyles, anti-war, and inclusion. Just beautiful, beautiful music. And we'd come together and rehearse it, and then we'd meet again on Saturday morning and again on Saturday afternoon rehearsing. And we'd come together on Saturday night and sing for the rest of the women at the encampment. It's just beautiful. And those were the roots of Syracuse Community Choir. That was how it started. Another movement that was so important to me in terms of my own growth was that we would meet on Wednesday mornings. A small group would sing in protest outside of the draft board, which was in used to be called Hunter Plaza. It was on the corner of Salina and Washington Street. And it was while draft physicals were being done every Wednesday morning during the Vietnam War. And that was another really important piece of activism. And I have a daughter who has been a lifelong activist, and she says that the reason for this is that she came to it early because I was pushing her in a stroller. She's 40 years old now. She's 40 years old tomorrow, in fact. But I'd be pushing her in a stroller, and we'd be walking back and forth in front of where the draft physicals were being done. So she says this is why she is the way she is. But those are two of the big ones. Oh, here was another. Yeah, this is an important one that I do tell people sometimes. We used to meet as a very small group at the SU Women's Building, it was called, the Women's Gym Building. And this was in the late 60s. And we were organizing a local chapter of National Organization for Women. And our organizer was Karen DeCrow. And she was then elected the first national now president. It was pretty exciting to have been there at that time and involved in that particular organizing. Actually, she went to law school while I was pregnant with my first child, who's going to be 44 in November. And she had been working as an editor at Singer Publishing Company, which was a big, big business downtown. And I had known her there because I had worked there briefly. And then she went to law school. And that would have been like the class of, she probably got out in 68 from SU Law School. And then she became the first National Now president. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. After I was involved, because I then was away for a time, the biggest thing in most people's memory is that they integrated the Rainbow Room at Hotel Syracuse. Hotel Syracuse, late 60s, had a separate entrance for women. It was the ladies' entrance. That was what it said on it. It was painted on the outside of the wall. It said ladies' entrance. And women couldn't go in the Rainbow Room, which was a bar underneath the hotel lobby. It's a bar that has had different reincarnations. Most recently, it was called Coach Max. But women were not allowed to come in by the main door. So that was a big factor. And the organizing for Betty Bowen Sheese, who is going to speak, in fact, next Wednesday night for the Gage Center on the separation of church and state, when she was going to be ordained as an Episcopalian priest. And there was huge, huge resentment and a negative reaction to that. I know it's hard for you to believe. It is hard for young people to believe now what it was like.